join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is No More Trauma by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
I woke up this morning and I read an article in the New York Times that said, based upon all the cases of people who have, particularly African-Americans, who have died at the hands of police, and the cases that have been charged and convicted, they said this has set a precedent that the chances are one in 2,000. Check that out. One in 2,000 are the odds that a policeman would be convicted, okay, for inappropriately killing a Black man. But we believe that this is a start of something new, that, you know, the Bible speaks of those in authority. First of all, it says we should respect those in authority, right? But it also says that people in authority should not lord over people. Jesus said in the kingdom, he said, we're not like they do in the Romans. He said, they lord over the flocks. They lord over people with a strong iron hand of tyranny. Jesus said, among us, that shouldn't be the case. But we should be servants of all. And we know that political officials, as well as police officers, are said, are supposed to be public servants. And when you are serving people, whether that's serving as a police officer or serving as a pastor or a bishop like I do in the Lord's church, we're not to lord over people or to abuse our authority. So hopefully this has set a precedent that people who abuse their authority will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Okay, so hopefully this is setting that precedent that you will be prosecuted. And, and then, of course, you know, for many of us who've seen these things over and over again as African-Americans, first of all, you have to overcome the barrier of first being even charged and prosecuted, getting into a prosecutor who will prosecute. Then on top of that, then convincing a jury or a judge to actually convict. And then, of course, we know there's another step in this, and that will be sentencing in 8 weeks. But this has been a victory already. It's been a victory already. I saw something, somebody put it, I responded on Twitter. Someone put something on Twitter yesterday, said, there is no joy in this day. I said, no, there's a little joy in this day. Yeah, I get it. It's not as joyous as if, George Floyd was still here. It's not as joyous as a resurrection would be. But it's joyous to know that the plight of people who have been disadvantaged and who have been oppressed by people in authority, that those cases are being heard and being shown and proven to have validity, and people realizing that there's a price to pay for abuse of authority. And abuse of authority, that goes beyond race, that goes beyond ethnicity. Those in authority do not have a right to abuse that authority on anybody, whether it's a parent towards a child, a husband towards a wife, a political official towards a citizen, a policeman to a man on the street. You don't have a right to abuse that authority. And that lives matter, and specifically Black Lives Matter. Amen. All right. With all that being said, let's look at Psalm 137. Psalm 137, this is the cry of the people of God, reminiscing of their experience as a result of being banished, or should I say, taken captive as slaves and as servants to Babylon. Psalm 137, 1 through 5, it says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. Yea, we wept when we were remembered in Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. We put up our instruments. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And the response was, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see it, but I stumbled across it. One of my spiritual sons, Pastor Lenny Gaines, texted me. I was out doing something. I was too late. But the Mahalia Jackson story was on Lifetime a few weeks ago, I believe. And I stumbled across it. I think it was last week after Bishop Jake's first movie in the series, Lust, was on. I think Mahalia came after that. But Mahalia Jackson, she refused to sing the blues. Okay, they heard her voice, and so many African-American singers, they came out of the church, but they would convince them to sing the blues so they can be more popular, so they can gain more popularity, so they could have more bandwidth and reach a larger audience. And Mahalia Jackson refused to sing the blues. She said something, I'm paraphrasing, but something to the extent of blues sings about your situation. She said, but gospel sings about how God can bring you out. Glory to God. And so, you know, there's a lot of gospel blues. Okay. We call some of them old Negro spiritual. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Precious Lord, take my hand. I'm tired and weak and I'm worn. And those are what I call soulless songs. The songs that express how you feel. But I can I tell you, you can talk about how you feel all along, and that's necessarily not going to get you out or change how you feel. And so the Bible tells us, I believe it's in the book of Ephesians, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We can't just get caught up in singing soulless songs. We got to sing spiritual songs. Not songs just come out of your emotions, but songs that come out of your spirit. What's in your spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, faith, faithfulness, patience. All that's it. The fruit of the spirit. And so sometimes we got to sing songs of praise that come out of our spirit that's going to bring us and cause us to rise above the circumstances rather than sing it about the circumstance. And they wanted God's people to sing one of the songs of Zion. But they were traumatized by their trauma. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So we're calling this No More Trauma. This is part two. No More Trauma, or Overcoming Trauma. Those scriptures from Psalm 137, 3 and 4, the New Living Translation. It says, for our captives demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the Lord's? How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? Can I tell you? We have to learn to sing the Lord's songs in a pagan land. We have to sometimes push beyond what we feel and let a praise ring up and come out of our mouth, from the depths of our hearts, from our spirits, that God is good and is good all the time. Can I tell you, yesterday afternoon after hearing that verdict, boy, that's the easier time to praise God. When you get what you want, when you see what you want, when it's a time of jubilation. But can I tell you, I want us to understand that despite trauma, we got to maintain our praise. Look at Psalm 66 and 12. I put this one in here early as well. I want you to see this. Psalm 66 and 12, I'm sure we'll come back to it later as well. It says, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Now, when it says thou hast caused, I mean, God, you allowed this to happen. You knew what we were going through. We went through fire. We went through water. Now, can I tell you, I've never been in a fire, okay? I've been in some water, okay? But I've never really been in fire. I've never been in water like that, like where I thought I'm going to drown to the, like, waters overcome me. Did I ever tell y'all? And I was traumatized by this. So I used to work in my home in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And I can't remember if I was home, if I was in my office working. I think I was in my office working in the home, door closed. And I hear this commotion, and I come out, y'all. Again, this is around 1993, I believe. I can't remember. I was coming home. That's how much I was traumatized. I was coming home, come up to the driveway, or if I was coming into the house from my office. But Pastor Marcia had a grease fire on the cabinets, and the cabinets were going up with flames. I believe Kendra was the baby. She's laying on the couch sleeping. Daniel, okay, this I mean, I did come home. But Daniel said, Dad, we had a fire. We had a fire. He said, I couldn't breathe. I was going, and I remember the firemen getting ready to come. By then, I had gotten the fire out, and the firemen came, and the hose, and the truck came, and they were giving it, and I ran out. I said, I got it. We're good. But y'all know those firemen will tear your house up with that fire out. But can I tell y'all, to this day, I got triggers. If I hear something burning in the house, I could be late at night. And Pastor Margie, she laughs about it. Okay, she had never burned anything. I mean, she ain't never tried to burn the house down before. She's never, cabins, nothing like that. I got ready, she's never burned any food before. But, you know, come on, that ain't possible, 36 years of marriage. Never burned the pots up and caused a fire. But if I smell something, my mind goes back there. If I hear an alarm in the house, because, you know, sometimes the smoke alarm could go off because of something, a little something, and it'll take me back there. You got to make up your mind. You're going to keep going on, and despite triggers. Now, one of the things I'm realizing as I'm studying more, I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. My background, my educational background is in sociology and in leadership. Those two things that I've, and of course, divinely studying the word of God. Theology. But in studying about this thing about trauma, they talk about trauma and they talk about triggers. And triggers are things that take you back. Triggers are things that take you back. But as I'm jumping ahead of myself, I want us to redefine our triggers. Or I want us to, our triggers, to remind us that we came out, that we got over it. Trigger, let it take you back to what you were in, but I'm not there anymore. That's what this psalm is saying, Psalm 66 and 12. We went through fire. We went through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. When I see fire, it may trigger me. When I see water, it may trigger that I almost drowned. But what does but mean? But means what I just said is about to change. But means the narrative is about to change. But means something different is happening. But means this story is about to take a turn. Yeah, I was broke, but I was sick, but I had this happen when I was a child, but that means the story is about to change. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Come on, give God praise that you got a but. That the story changed, that something chains in this story. It didn't keep down the same pace, didn't keep down the same track. There was a but. The story changed. That verse from the New Living Translation says, then you put a leader over us. You know, it's been blessing me. I've been listening this week as we've been closing out 6 a.m. prayer. And I've been hearing our prayer leaders and intercessors talk about how connection with us and Right Direction Church International, how it impact their life. I heard Minister David saying this morning of how, as a result of his connection with Right Direction, despite last year losing both of his parents transitioned from COVID, I believe about 2 to 3 weeks apart, both his parents transitioned, mother and his father. Despite he and his wife going through multiple miscarriages, despite being on a job for 13 years, and I think about they went through 7 downsizes and layoffs, and one time laid everybody off except him. Despite going through all that, he said he's been able to have peace. He's been able to have peace. And he said, thank God that Right Direction has been his peace connection to the peace, wholeness. It says, so that verse from the New Living Translation, Psalm 66 and 12 said, then you put a leader over us. We went through fire and through water, but thou brought us out to a place of great abundance. Can you just stop right now and give God praise for some place that you used to be, but God brought you through and brought you out? Come on, give God praise for that. I'm not there anymore. Yes, I was in the fire, but you brought me through the fire. I was in the flood, but you brought me through the flood, and you brought me out to a wealthy place, to a place of great abundance, such that it is really our testimony, y'all, that we don't look like what we've been through. Glory God. Come on, put something in the chat if you know that's you. I don't look like what I've been through. I'll never forget a young lady, somebody I consider to be pretty close to, and we helped out quite a bit. But anyway, don't let that be a trigger. But I remember when I was encouraging them, they were going through something financially. They were sitting in our house, the house that we've been in prior to this one. And they were, and things looked like it was so hard. And I said, listen, I said, you've heard my testimony of what God did for us, talking about finances in terms of not being homeless or whatever, not having a house or didn't know how we were going to live, how we're going to make it. And she was sitting there and I said, listen, what God did for us, he'll do for you. And she said, wasn't Bishop then. She said, Pastor, but sitting in our living room with the, I don't know, 20-foot ceilings, whatever, in the living room there. And she said, sitting here, she said, it's hard for me to she didn't say believe. She know I'm not lying. She's hard for me to see that you were ever where we are. I said, we were worse than you are. We were in a worse place. But you know what she was really saying? You don't look like you've been through that. Can I tell you, God can beautify your life that you won't look like the trauma you've been through. So you can go through trauma without being traumatized, without looking like and having ongoing lasting effects to trauma. So again, we're talking about trauma. Trauma here, we said, is a person's emotional response to a distressing experience. And few people go through life without some kind of trauma. It's in the Word. It's in our lives, whether you're here in New York City or whether you're in Columbia, South Carolina, or some small town somewhere, everyone has seen something or gone through something that potentially can cause trauma and triggers and be traumatic. You know, and those traumatic events, sometimes they tend to be sudden and unpredictable. They can involve serious threat of life, or it could be you seeing somebody else lose their life. They can undermine your sense of safety and belonging and security in the world. And it can give you a sense that catastrophe could happen at any moment because of what you've seen. And we talk about the different types of trauma, acute trauma, okay? Distress and immediate aftermath of one-time event. We talk about chronic trauma. From repeated and prolonged events that have happened, perhaps throughout your childhood, perhaps all through your elementary school year, high school years, or your early married life, whatever. We talk about complex trauma that can arise from experiencing repeated or multiple traumatic events. Then we talk about secondary or vicarious trauma, which a lot of us have experienced as a result of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and seeing these events constantly playing on TV, even though it didn't happen directly to us, even though we're far removed, and some of us from those cities where these things happen. But I was telling Bishop Bailey yesterday, and he said, "Did you see that thing on television where the man came out and called a guy an MF and pushed him and told him to get out of his neighborhood?" And I said to him, I said, "Uncle Scotty," I said, "that happened in my city." He said, "That happened in Columbia?" I said, "Yes, that, come on." And then sometimes, and maybe that might have caused trigger for some of us, because you hear about it in Minneapolis, you hear about it in New York City, you hear about Louisville, Kentucky, you hear about it in Florida. Oh, but now it's getting in our neighborhood. And sometimes things can seem like getting closer to us, and that secondary and vicarious trauma don't seem so secondary and vicarious just through someone else if it's getting that close to you. And so that can arise, and you started identifying other people suffering. You fear that things are going to happen to you. And then we talk about ACE, which is adverse childhood experiences. Let me say something about that. It's so interesting because right after I start teaching this, Oprah has a new book out. Oprah has a new book dealing with ACE, adverse childhood experiences, and trauma. Okay, mostly I told you I found a way to cheat with these books now. Okay, I got time to read. I got to be reading the word. I got to be reading so much. I'm going to be listening to these books on Audible. Okay, but a book that she's done with someone else, but dealing with trauma, because it's something that she became familiar with several years ago, and she along with some mental health professionals have put together this book about trauma, and particularly about ACE, adverse childhood experiences. But I heard say this. This is several years ago. When we see someone who is nasty, and bitter, and mean, or depressed, or angry or anxious, a lot of times our immediate question is, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?" And I remember her hearing saying this: when you understand trauma and particularly adverse childhood experiences, the more empathetic question needs to be, "What happened to you?" Not "What's wrong with you?" What happened to you? Tell me your story. What happened to you that made you so mean? What happened to you that has made you so angry? What happened to you that's made you so irritable? What's happened to you that causes these triggers for you to go 0 to 1,000? Some people go to 0 to 100, 0 to 100. Some people go 0 to 1,000. Any of y'all know people that go 0 to 1,000? You're like, "Oh my goodness." Okay. You know, we were, Pastor Marsh and I walked through Central Park, and we started this off as a joke. We started this off as a joke as we walked through Central Park. I said, I'm going to start asking people, "Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?" She said, "Go ahead, I dare you." So I said, "Record this." And I stopped this couple sitting at the bench. I said, "Excuse me," this is on our Instagram, y'all can look at it. I said, "Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?" And the woman said, "Is Sesame Street an actual street?" I said, "I don't know. That's why I'm asking you." And so we kept walking. I said, "Oh, this is going to be fun." And I saw this other couple. And I said, "Mom, I'm going to ask them if you can tell me how to get to Sesame Street." She looked and she said, "They don't look like they like people." She said, I think you need to leave them alone. Just the way they look like, I need to ask them, "What happened to you?" You know how some people look approachable and some people don't look approachable. Some people look like they'll go off on you. And some people look like they'll smile at you. Okay. Anyway, we kept walking and I told Marcia, put the video on. And I stopped and asked this other lady. I said, "Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?" And she said, "Oh yeah, just walk right through this path here and make it right there. And you go down there." She said, "And you keep walking, you'll see the sign." I said, "There's really a place called Sesame Street?" She said, "Yes." She said, "There's a place." So anyway, y'all, so we found Sesame Street today. Start off as a joke, but Sesame Street is a real place. But I'm saying that sometimes you can approach people, sometimes you can't approach people, and sometimes people can't be approached because of the trauma that they've been through. And you need to understand that when you see that about people, it has nothing to do with you. It's many times what they've gone through that makes them mad with you, upset with you, angry with you, or upset with the world, that has nothing to do with you. So he said, trauma is anything that has changed your view, watch this, of God, yourself, and others for the worse. Anything that has changed your view of God, yourself, or others for the worse. And let me go over a couple other things here regarding trauma here. Okay, I'm not going to be able to see myself here, but y'all should still be able to, I'm going to look at the comments, y'all should still be able to see me. Some other stuff about trauma. And sometimes, you know, when you go through these symptoms of trauma, watch this, you try to avoid trauma reminders, including memories, some things you don't want to talk about. I'm convinced my grandmother, Nana, you hear me talk about, I'm convinced she went through some trauma. I don't know what it was. The only thing I knew, my grandmother lived to be, she was always in our lives. We around her. As a matter of fact, she lived in the same house from the time I was 15, 16 until, you know, when she died 10 years ago. But I would say, Nana, tell me about your mother. All I know, she grew up in D.C. Tell me about your father. I ain't got nothing to say. I don't remember nothing. She would never talk about anything. I'm convinced she went, I can't prove this, but you can't prove me wrong. She went sometime through some type of trauma that she didn't want to be reminded or talk about her childhood or her past or her parents. So that's a symptom of trauma, avoiding memories, exaggerated startle responses. Okay. Remember I told y'all right after 9/11 in 2001, September 11, 2001, Pastor Marshall and I believe the next week we had a trip planned to Chicago. We flew a direct flight from Columbia, South Carolina to Chicago. And I said, okay, I said, we still gonna fly. A week later we were in a plane. And so I was trying to get the flight attendant's attention. And we were sitting towards the front of the plane. I couldn't get his attention. So I went up, and I walked up close to him. I said, excuse me. And he turned around, he said, don't even walk up at me like that. He was traumatized through a very traumatic event with dying on the plane.
Trauma can either make you bitter or make you better. Trauma can bring you down or drive you up. Some type of way, we have to take the trauma we've been through and say, God is still with me. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us how to overcome the trials and trauma we've faced and proclaim that if God is for me, who could be against me? To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info.
As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.